Amen. Thank you, ladies. Listen, there's nowhere else we can turn, amen, except to the Lord. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. You should have received an outline in your bulletin this morning. If you did not, if you'll raise your hand, our ushers will get you one of those here momentarily. How many of you are glad it's spring? You glad it's spring? At least officially, right? Officially, anyway, it's spring. My wife affectionately refers to the seasons, saying that we have just gone from winter into spring winter. We will have summer before we go back into fall winter, before winter again. So, listen, it's good to get at least a glimpse of warm weather every now and then, right? That's a good thing. And I hope you're enjoying that. It has been a long winter. And you know, one of the things that's been the most frustrating for me, and if it has been for you as well, I want to hear a big hearty amen, are the potholes. Okay? You with me on that? You know, there's lots of, man, I don't know if it's like where you live, it's like where near where we live, but there are potholes everywhere. It's like a sea of potholes going down Lincoln Way and stuff. You're driving down there, you know, and you're just kind of having to dodge all the potholes. It kind of feels like a video game, right? You're just dodging the potholes. Sometimes I'm thankful. I look in my rearview mirror and I say, I hope a cop's not behind me because I'm probably going to get stopped for drunk driving, dodging these potholes. That's just kind of the way it is. But you know, if you really think about it, life is kind of like that, isn't it? You know, we are driving down the road of life, dodging the potholes of life, right? Trying not to hit them if we can, and especially we want to avoid those big ones, right? We want to avoid that. You know, here's kind of the way it goes. You know, you start to get some traction in your life or in your walk with the Lord. And then something happens that keeps you from growing like you should. That's a pothole, right? Or something comes up to keep you from serving. Maybe you signed up meant to serve for something, or you wanted to start doing something and serving the Lord in the church, or doing something that you know you should. That's a pothole. You know, just when you start that Bible study, your schedule at work changes to keep you from being there. Pothole, right? You know, just when you commit to serve in Vacation Bible School or on that underwater basket weaving team that you've been dying to serve with, all of a sudden some kind of crisis comes up in your life where you have to step back from that commitment. It's a pothole. Just when you've worked really hard on your marriage and things are starting to come together, something happens that shakes things up. It's a pothole. It seems like no matter what we do, life is full of potholes. Amen? It's full of potholes. We can't avoid the potholes. Friends, that brings us to the first lesson we want to look at this morning, if you look in your outline, and that's this. If we're serving the Lord, you can put it this way, we will face opposition or we will have potholes, right? There will be potholes. If you're serving the Lord, listen, there's going to be opposition. There's going to be potholes. There's going to be things that come up in life that we would rather not be there, that stunt where we want to be, that keep us from being where we need to be. J.I. Packer says in his book, Knowing God, opposition is a fact. The Christian who is not conscious of being opposed had better watch himself, for he is in danger. You know, we've been going through the book of Acts. God's doing some mighty things, right? It's what we're seeing throughout the book of Acts. We're seeing God do some very mighty things, and the early church is exploding. Well, anytime God's at work, we know somebody else is doing all he can to stop everything that God is doing. So let's look at the text this morning. Let's see what's going on here. You remember we talked last week about a couple you do not want to emulate, right? Ananias and Sapphira, and we talked about what happened to them. And so here in verse 12 of chapter 5, we continue on with our text. It says, and through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. Now, we're going to just kind of walk through this a little bit this morning, but I want you to notice that. Sometimes we pass over these things. Through whom was God doing the signs and wonders and miracles? Through the apostles, okay? And this is a little bit of a side note this morning, not a main point or anything, but, you know, as we talk about it, we look at it, some people say, well, what about all these people who claim to do things today and claim to be used by God in very miraculous ways and so forth? Well, here what we see in the early church was, listen, this was not a church-wide thing. These were the apostles. God was using the apostles in a very mighty way, and he had empowered them with his Spirit, and they were the ones. You look all throughout the book of Acts, the apostles were the ones who were going out doing the miracles and the signs and the wonders. And it says there, as they were doing many signs and wonders among the people, it says they were all with one accord. They were all gathered together in Solomon's porch. Solomon's porch is a portico on the east side of the temple, a place that the Christians, Jesus had taught there many times, a place that the Christians kind of gathered together. As they went to the temple, they knew where, if they were going to find other Christians there, that's where they were going to be, and they were going to gather there. So they were all there. They were all in unity at the temple at Solomon's porch, it says, but yet none of the others or none of the rest dared to join them, but the people esteemed them highly. So all the other people in Jerusalem and so forth, they didn't want to. Why do you think they might be scared to join the Christians at this point? Persecution? And what just happened to Ananias and Sapphira? God is serious about sin. So they were a little apprehensive about that. But it says they looked highly upon the Christians. They thought highly of the apostles. And because of that, look at verse 14. It says, and believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. So we've seen the early church grow from 120 to 3,000 to 5,000. And here, what's happening? Has it stopped growing? No. It's continuing. We're seeing continually people added as the apostles were sharing the gospel and were teaching people about the Lord. Many of them were coming to Christ and they were being added to the church. So it says, and believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Now listen, you know God's doing some mighty things through someone if they're just looking for their shadow to fall on them. God had endowed Peter and the rest of the apostles with some great miracle-working power. You know what? I often want to just walk in Chris Kripe's shadow. Amen? You know, there were some unique things going on here. Great power God had endowed Peter and the rest of the apostles with. And look at what it says. It says, also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Here's kind of what's happening. Listen, God had endowed them with such power, and they were healing people, and they were bringing them out into the streets, and they're bringing them from all the surrounding region. Listen, this was a time period in which disease and suffering really was all but eliminated in the region of Judea. It was a time unprecedented before and really not seen since, that God was working in a mighty way. He gave the apostles special power from the Holy Spirit to do these things in order to authenticate the message that they were proclaiming, that it was truly from him. Now, as I said a few minutes ago, here's what we need to be careful about. God was working in a mighty way, wasn't he? Well, whenever God is working, what do we say is also happening? The devil's at work, right? There is opposition. There will always be opposition when God is at work. Look at verse 17. It says, then the high priest rose up, and all those who were with him, the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation. Some of your translations have what? Jealousy. They were filled with jealousy and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in prison, in the common prison. Now, if you think about this, why would any sane person do that? You know, why would they be upset? The apostles were healing people. Don't you heal anybody. I don't want to see anybody get well in here. Why would they do that? Friends, why would they be upset at their region being freed of sickness? Well, you know, because it threatened their power, didn't it? You know who'd be threatened today? The pharmaceutical companies, wouldn't they? They'd be threatened. It takes away their income. Well, listen, it says the high priest, the Sadducees, those religious leaders were jealous. They were filled with indignation, friends. Here's what we need to understand. Religious people always feel threatened by true spirituality. They feel like their positions are being threatened. They feel like, well, people are starting to follow the apostles and then weren't following them. Listen, we need to understand, as believers, we're going to face opposition. Do you know that? You say, Pastor, that's pretty negative. No, it's just realistic. And we need to be realistic. You know, we need to understand that we're going to face opposition. Opposition is going to come from all sorts of places. Did you know that? You know, opposition can come from outside the church, can it? You know, we're fortunate here in America that we don't suffer physical persecution or not a lot in America. But you know what? There are many people in the world who oppose the Lord, who oppose what we as Christians stand for. There are people with varying worldviews who are actively fighting against a biblical worldview. Did you know that? They have a different agenda. There are many who oppose what we stand for. And you know why? Because they oppose Jesus. You know? They don't like what Jesus stands for. The gospel is offensive to them. And so they stand against us as Christians. You may experience that at your work. You may experience that as you go about your life and stuff. Here's the deal, and here's just what we need to understand. As we get closer and closer to Jesus' second coming, his return, we're going to face more and more opposition. It's not going to be less. So, listen, we just need to understand that. Opposition can come from outside. You know what? Opposition can also come from within. The opposition in our text today, you say, well, that's outside of Christianity, right? Well, you might consider it. It's outside of Christianity, but it was from within their own Jewish community. The Bible says Jesus came to his own, but his own did not receive him, right? He came to the Jewish people, but they did not receive him. The Jewish leaders should have embraced Jesus as their long-awaited Messiah. But did they? No, they didn't. Instead, they were jealous and they missed the boat. And friends, even with the second chance, now, look, they're getting a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance, right? As the apostles are confronting them with the gospel and they're having more chances to repent, did they, as a nation, repent? No. The leaders of the Jewish nation did not repent. They continued to oppose everything that was associated with Christ. And that's what we see continually throughout the book of Acts here. They continued to oppose everything the church did. You know, here's one of the things we understand. Yes, we as Christians are going to face opposition in the world, but you know what? Sometimes the most difficult opposition we face comes from within. It comes from within. You know, it comes from within the church, doesn't it? Listen, I'm grateful. I'm grateful, and I'll be honest, I've never felt a lot of opposition in our body, okay? And I think God's done some wonderful things because of that. We praise him for that. But as I've said before, listen, we got to be careful about that. Amen? Listen, don't let the devil use us for his work. The devil's going to do everything he can to cause trouble in the church. The devil's going to do everything he can for people in the church to grab hold of an area and say, this is my territory. I'm not letting go of this. Or to say, you know what? You can't do it that way. We've always done it this way before. You know what? There's a lot of things that have happened in the church and a lot of things that we've done over the years that are great, right? But listen, if we're not adapting to society around us, listen, not changing the message, amen, but our methods need to change. If we're not adapting and becoming, if we're not being relevant to our world today, we're not going to reach anybody. We are not going to reach people for Christ. So friends, let's not let opposition come from within the church. Amen? Some of you have lived through that. That's not a good thing. Why is it that sometimes the thing that keeps the church from reaching the world is the church? But you know, we also can face opposition within our own family, can't we? You know, I don't know if your family's supportive of you. I hope they are. Sometimes they are, sometimes they're not, but sometimes we can face opposition from our own family. That can come in a lot of different forms. Sometimes, even with good intentions, our own family can put unbiblical expectations on us. They can put undue expectations, unbiblical expectations, legalism on us, right? Or they can make it where we feel embarrassed to even go and be a part of the church. There just comes all sorts of different angles. We can fight opposition from within the church. Sometimes we fight opposition within our families. Listen, I think one of the strongest and one of the biggest places, one of the greatest oppositions are within ourselves. Some of the greatest opposition are the battles we fight in our own head. Amen? Here's what we need to understand. All opposition for the Christian comes from where? It comes from the devil, doesn't it? It comes from the devil. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God." Why? Why do we want to put on the armor of God? It says, "That you may be able to stand against the wiles or the trickery of the devil." And look at this verse here. Verse 12 says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Friends, listen, all that opposition out in the world, you know, some people say, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. Okay? There's a lot of people out there say, ooh, there's people behind the scenes and they're working and they're... Listen, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I will tell you this. There is one evil behind it all, Satan. Okay? And sometimes the people he's using don't even know he's using them. Okay? Sometimes they don't even have a clue, okay, that they are his servants. But you know what? It's also... You know, when your boss seems like that he or she is your enemy, you know, other things are happening. Listen, who's behind those things? It's the devil's behind them. If those things that are in opposition to our Christian walk and our Christian belief, listen. Here's what we need to understand: if you commit to growing, the devil will do all he can to trip you up. If you commit yourself to the Lord, the devil says, all right, he's going to do all he can to trip you up. If you commit to start witnessing, I hope you have. You say, I want to be a light to my world, the world God's placed me in. I want to reach out to the community that God's given me. Listen, if you commit to start witnessing, the devil will do all he can to discourage you and to keep you from that. Listen, if you commit to serve in a leadership role, He'll throw all sorts of temptations at you to try to get you to fall. If you commit to being more involved, listen, you'll have all sorts of hindrances creep up from seemingly nowhere to steal your time. If you commit to start doing a new Bible study, devil's going to put all sorts of obstacles in your way. He's going to do everything he can to trip us up. And some of you may say, well, then, Pastor, what's the point? What's the point? If everything I try to do as a Christian, Satan is going to oppose me, it sounds like I'd be better off not even trying. Well, I suppose so. I suppose you could just give up. Let's just wave the white flag and give up, right? If you don't care about what God says. If you have no desire to be a follower of Jesus Christ. If you don't want, when he comes back, for him to say, well done, my good and faithful servant, then friends, just give up. Stop serving him today. As we talked about last week, stop pretending, stop fooling him, amen? Stop trying to fool people. Either put up or, my wife tells me I shouldn't say that second one, right? You know what it is, okay? So here's the deal. The devil wants to beat us down. He wants to cause us to get us discouraged. He wants to make us afraid to do what God has called us to do, right? Well, that leads us right into the second lesson I believe we learned from our text this morning, and that is this. Friends, when we are obeying the Lord, there is no reason to fear. When we are obeying God, there's no reason to fear. Look at verse 19. So, the apostles had been out doing many signs and wonders and miracles and preaching and teaching about Jesus. Verse 19 says what? But at night, an angel of the Lord, and they'd been put in prison, right? So it says, but at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out. Woohoo! Right? They were free. Then look at what he tells them. He says, go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. Now, I don't know about you, but I was, okay, great, I'm free. But you want me to do what? Hey, those people are the ones who just put us in here. Don't you think, angel, that they're going to kind of like put us back? This is dangerous here. Is that what they did? No. Look at what verse 21 says. It says, and when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest and those with him came and called the council together and with the elders of the children and with all the elders of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. So, unbeknownst to the Sanhedrin, an angel appeared, freed them from prison. We don't know exactly how he did that and so forth, but anyway, he freed them from prison, told them to go preach in the temple. Next morning, the Sanhedrin gathers. They say, all right, bring the prisoners here. We want to talk to them. Verse 22. But when the officers came and did not find them in the prison, they returned and reported, saying, indeed, we found the prison shut securely and the guards standing outside before the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside. Listen, everything was just like we left it. The guards were there. The guards hadn't seen anything, didn't know what was going on. Went inside, nobody there. Now when the high priest, the captain of the temple, and the chief priests heard these things, they wondered what the outcome would be. You know what? They were puzzled. They were like, they were speechless. Where'd they go? What happened? So it says, someone came and told them, saying, look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then the captain went with the officers and brought them. You see them storming out to there, right? See them storming to where they were. They brought them without violence. Why? For they feared the people, lest they should be stoned. Listen, it said the people thought highly of the apostles. The people thought highly of the Christians now. Verse 27 says, and when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. I love that statement. I love that statement, friends. I believe that epitomizes what our attitude needs to be. I believe if we can grasp that, if we can grasp that concept right there, then that will take us a long way in this life and living for Jesus. Amen? We ought to obey God rather than men. What we need to understand is what Peter goes on to say. He says, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Listen, you tried to get him down, God raised him up. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Friends, listen, they weren't afraid. Why? Because they cared more about what God thought rather than what the Sanhedrin thought. They were more concerned about obeying God than they were those men. They weren't afraid. Not because there wasn't something to be afraid of, but they weren't afraid because they knew God was more powerful than anything else they faced. And therefore, they were determined to do what God had called them to do, right? They were determined to do to obey God and do what he had called them to do. How about you? Are you willing to obey God and do what he calls you to do, no matter the consequences? Well, Pastor, I don't know. What if it cost me my job? Are you willing to obey God even if it costs you your job? Well, Pastor, what if I don't feel comfortable about what he asked me to do? What if I don't know what I'm doing? What if this or what if that? Listen, so friends, many times the devil causes us to be afraid. The devil causes us to fear, and many times we don't even know what it is we're afraid of. I believe we just become afraid to do what God wants us to do. What are we afraid of? We're just afraid to do what God wants us to do. But when we say, well, what are we afraid of? Well, I don't know. We just hesitate, right? Here's what I hear a lot. Well, Pastor, I just can't, Pastor, because my socks are blue. What? Well, Pastor, I'd like to, but I can't because, you know, turkeys are flying through the air. What? Listen, I hear all, Pastor, I just can't, and then followed by every kind of excuse in the book, right? The devil will provide you with those lame excuses. Because some reason, we become hesitant. We become afraid to do what God wants us to do most of the time without any real reason at all. Maybe you're afraid to teach. Maybe you're afraid to work with kids. I want to ask you a question. What are you afraid of? You afraid of those little boogers attacking you? You know? You afraid there's going to be they're going to overpower you? Bob used to call them grasshoppers, right, Bob? Okay? But they won't overpower you, right? You know? They're not going to tie you down and then start some mutiny, okay? It's not going to happen, all right? Maybe you're afraid to join a connect group, or maybe you're afraid to join a Bible study group. Why? Are you afraid of the time commitment? Are you afraid people are going to bite? Are you afraid of learning the Bible? What are you afraid of? Maybe you're afraid to talk to somebody about Jesus. What are you afraid of? You're afraid that people are going to look at you funny? You're afraid you're going to be embarrassed? Listen, I want to encourage you to ask yourself this question. What am I really afraid of? When God asks me to do something, when I feel God calling me to do something, and I hesitate, and I wait, whatever, what am I really afraid of? Many times we're just afraid to obey God, but we really can't name it. Even if there are legitimate fears, friends, I want to encourage you to take this last lesson to heart, and it's this. We can press on. We need to press on, amen? We must press on in the face of opposition, knowing that God's work cannot be stopped. Friends, if we're on God's side, listen, who can prevail against us, amen? No one. Look at verse 33. Listen, the angel had freed them. They'd gone back out and done what the angel said and began to preach and teach again. Listen, the Sanhedrin brought them back in again. Look at verse 33, what happens. It says, when they heard this, after what Peter and the others answered, they were furious and plotted to kill them. Listen, this was no little bit of danger, okay? These guys weren't kidding. They weren't playing around. They were serious. They felt threatened. They were planning to kill them. Look at verse 34. I love how God works. Did you know God can even use unbelievers to accomplish his work? He can. God can use unbelievers and they don't even know it. And I believe that's what he's doing here. Look at verse 34. It says, then one in the council stood up, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in respect by all the people, and commanded them to put the apostles outside for a little while. Now, listen, Gamaliel was one of the head Pharisees, and he was a teacher that was greatly respected. Does that name sound familiar to you? Listen, he was Paul's mentor. Okay? The Apostle Paul, before he got saved, was a Pharisee. In fact, it's very likely and very probable that Paul, not as Paul, but as Saul, before he got saved, was among the Pharisees here. He was among the group who was wanting to kill the apostles here. That is very probable that Paul was among them, because here his teacher, Gamaliel, stands up, and I believe God used him in this manner, even though he was not a Christian. Look at what he says. He said to them, men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do regarding these men. For some time ago, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. Then he was slain, and all who obeyed him were scattered and came to nothing. So he gives us an example of one man who rose up and claimed to be somebody important, claimed to be a false Christ, false Messiah, and said some people started to join him. Then he was killed. Everybody who was following him dispersed. Gives us another example. After this man, Judas of Galilee, not Jesus, Judas, a different person, rose up in the days of the census and drew away many people after him. He also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed. And now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God. So listen, what's he saying? He's saying, listen, he said, yeah, we know this Jesus, and they're preaching, teaching all this stuff. But listen, if this is of God, you cannot stop it. If it's not of God, it'll disperse. It will go anyway. Friends, the key point there is this. You cannot stop God's work. Amen? You cannot stop God's will. His will always prevail. Amen? And doesn't matter what anybody does against it. Doesn't matter who opposes you. It doesn't matter who tries to oppose the church. Listen, for the past century and a half, probably even longer than that, there are groups of people who have been trying to stamp out Christians and stamp out the church. Really all of church history. But particularly over that time, saying, listen, God is dead. This is the end of the church. We're past Christianity. You know, that's what they say we are. We're in a post-Christian culture. Well, guess what? I don't know about you, but I still need Jesus. Amen? And they can say that in the world all they want, friends, but they will not stamp out the work of God. Here's what the Bible says, that the work of God, which is started in people's hearts, will continue to grow, and he'll continue to see people come to know him, and the kingdom will continue to spread until the end, and then there will be no more. Listen, his work's going to continue to grow. They cannot stop it, even if they try. So look at how the apostles responded, or look at what happened next, verse 40. After Gamaliel says this, listen, if this plan is of men, it'll come to nothing. If it's of God, you can't stop it. Verse 40, and they agreed with him. And when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, probably just for good measure, you know, just to get it out of their system, who knows, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Gamaliel was a man of great wisdom. I believe God worked through him in this circumstance and used him. And he got consensus among the people and among the Sanhedrin. They beat him, but then they let him go. So look at verse 41. How did the apostles respond? So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing. Listen, you would think they would be hanging their heads, right? Oh, man, here we go again. Every time we try to do something, they're going to try to stop us. Look what they were rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Friends, they actually rejoiced at the opposition. They actually rejoiced at the persecution. Why? Friends, because they knew that God was at work. They rejoiced because they knew the devil was hard at work because God was working, because God was doing mighty things through them. God was working in people's hearts, and God was building his church. Friends, when you face opposition as a Christian, and I'm not just talking about, you know, normal, but when you face opposition as a Christian, listen, rejoice in it, amen? Rejoice in it for the fact that God has counted you worthy to suffer shame for his name. And look at verse 42. It says, then and daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Even with that opposition, even with the Sanhedrin arresting them, even with them threatening them and beating them, they still went where? They didn't go off to some shack out in some corner somewhere. They didn't go off in a cornfield somewhere. No, they went back to where? The temple. They went back to the temple. They pressed on, continuing to do what God had called them to do because they knew that God was more powerful than anything else they faced. They knew that if they were submitted to God, God would continue to work through them. They knew what God had called them to do, and they pressed on. Friends, what opposition are you facing today in your walk with Christ? What opposition are you facing? Is the opposition circumstantial? Does the devil give you plenty of excuses? Do you always find some reason not to do what God wants you to do? Listen, the devil's going to give us plenty of excuses, amen? And many times we don't even need him to help us. We can come up with enough on our own. Listen, I want to encourage you, don't let circumstance determine. Settle in your heart, as Daniel did, that you will serve the Lord. And unless you are dying or on your deathbed, nothing's going to stop you from doing that. Amen? Listen, you know as well as I do, there are some people, they commit to something, they tell you they're going to do something, they're going to be serving the Lord, they're there no matter what. There are others, listen, if they wake up and their toenail's sore, they're not going to be there. Don't let that be you. Let's press on, serving the Lord, knowing that our reward is in heaven is greater than anything we're going to go through here on earth. Amen? Friends, many times is your opposition circumstantial, but maybe your opposition is emotional. Maybe the way the devil gets to you is through defeat and discouragement. Friends, I want to encourage you to take heart in the Lord. Amen? He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. There is no one who can defeat you in the Lord. So friends, you press on. Is your opposition external? Maybe your opposition is from the world, pressures from the world, things from your past that you deal with in the world. Friends, I want to encourage you, press on. Amen? Press on. Maybe your opposition is internal. Maybe it's things that you deal with in your head. Maybe it's discouragement. Maybe it's you deal with temptation. Maybe it's you deal with doubts. Whatever it is, friends, I want to encourage you to press on. Here's kind of how I view it. You know, I want you to imagine the opposition in your life kind of like you're in a storm, and the opposition in your life is like a strong headwind. You know, if you're in a storm, you know, their winds gust, don't they? And so sometimes those winds gust, and they can be pretty strong and pretty powerful. And if we're not careful, if you're in a storm and you're not careful, and a strong wind comes, whoa, it can kind of push you back, right? How many ever watched the Weather Channel, you know, when you get in the middle of a hurricane, you know, there's a hurricane coming or tornadoes or whatever, right? You know, Jim Cantore or Mike Seidel standing there, you know, those announcers or those reporters are out in the storm. They try to find the worst spot, and the rain's coming down and the wind's coming down. They're holding onto a light pole, right? And they're leaning into the wind, and they're bracing for the storm that's coming and for the headwinds that are coming against them. How do they stand strong? How are they able to remain standing? Well, first of all, they brace themselves, right? They get a hold of something or make sure they've got something secure to hold on to. Friends, we need to brace ourselves in the Lord. Amen? Friends, He is our anchor. He is the one we hold on to when opposition comes. Friends, hold on to Him. Hold on to Him. They brace themselves. They prepare for it, right? Listen, the Christian who doesn't face the reality that, you know what, we're going to face opposition, listen, you're going to be easily toppled over. You're going to be easily. So you got to know, listen, they're standing out there. They know that while there's always going to be a headwind, occasionally there's going to be a really strong one. And so you're ready for it at a moment's notice. So you brace for it. They're ready for it. And then also, you know, they kind of lean into it, don't they? You kind of have to lean into it. Friends, listen, we need to be willing to be obedient to God in spite of the opposition that comes. We need to expect it. Hold on to Him. I'm going to encourage you to lean into it. Amen? Listen, I don't know many believers who really can do this today like the apostles did, but we need to be willing to rejoice in it. Amen. You say, Pastor, I don't know if I can do that. I like it when things are going smooth. Hey, I do too. But you know what? When we grow the most is when we face opposition. Did you know that God can actually use opposition in your life? Now, He doesn't cause it, but He can use it. Do you know, let's go back to our opening notes. Do you know God could even use a pothole in your life? Did you ever think about the fact that maybe God, maybe some of you in here, maybe somebody in here has ended up having to take your car to get it realigned or to get a tire replaced because you busted a tire? I've done that before because you've hit a pothole. Do you imagine God could have maybe caused you to hit a pothole so that you could share Jesus with that mechanic or the person who changed your tire? I think sometimes He does do that. I think we need to be prepared for it. Amen? And listen, if we're prepared for it, if we understand that, and we're braced in the Lord, friends, then there's nothing we can't press on through. Amen? That's what I want to encourage you with this morning. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I know some of you this morning are going through some difficult times. Some of you are facing some things that are not pleasant. Maybe it's health issues. Maybe it's health issues of folks in your family. Maybe it's trouble at your work. Maybe it's every time you start to get some traction in your walk with the Lord, man, there are things that always come up. Here's what I want to encourage you is press on. Would you this morning commit yourself to just pressing on in the Lord no matter what? Let's open our altar this morning, and I'm going to encourage you to come. And listen, you just, whatever is going on in your life, I'm just going to encourage you to lift that up to the Lord. I'm going to ask my wife to come forward. Brother Josh is here. I'm here. Maybe this morning, what you're going through, you need somebody to stand with you in that opposition. You need somebody to pray with you. I want to invite you to come this morning. We would love to just pray with you and lift up whatever you're going through to the Lord. Ask Him to help you be strong in it. Ask Him to accomplish His purposes in it and through it, and give you the strength and the grace to handle it. Friends, maybe this morning God's testing you to see if you're really serious about serving Him. Would you reaffirm that this morning? Would you say, Lord, no matter what happens in my life, no matter what I go through, You are my Lord. You are my God. I'm grateful that You saved me. I'm grateful that You have loved me enough to redeem me. And because of that, I'm going to love You no matter what. I'm going to love You through it all. Lord, we do love You. And Lord, we know You said in this world there will be tribulation. But Lord, we also know that You have overcome it. And by being in You, we also can be overcomers. Lord, for those who are here this morning that need Your that encouragement, lift them up, Holy Spirit. Speak to them. Draw them to Yourself. Help us to press on. Jesus, it's in Your precious holy name we pray. Amen. Friends, if there's anything else God's doing in your life, you come. Praise team's going to sing. You come. We'd love to pray with you. You just commit it to the Lord, whatever it is. Let's stand together. As we sing, would you come?
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's life for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant. Thank you.
Friend, there's still opportunity. I'm gonna give you, let's sing another verse here, okay? Listen, there's something you're dealing with. Maybe you just want to fall on your knees right where you are, whatever it is. But let's just lift each other up. Here's what I want you to do. Listen, there's nothing in your heart, nothing that you need to deal with. I want you to just pray for the person beside you, okay? Pick, right or left, whatever. You just pray for them. Maybe you know what they're going through, maybe you don't. Would you just lift them up to the Lord? Our praise team's gonna sing.
His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory.
Amen. Be seated, if you will, for just a moment. Listen, here's what this does not mean. A lot of times people say, well, I just need to press on. So that means I need to deal with this on my own. Listen, God gives us Christian friends and Christian the other believers in the church to lean on. Amen? And there's no shame in that. There's nothing wrong with that. Listen, when you're struggling, I want you to come to somebody. I want you to come to me as your pastor. Ladies, maybe it's a lady who's been pouring into your life, whatever it is, they can lift you up. You know, a lot of the times, in those situations, we know the right things to do. We know how we need to feel even, but we just need somebody else to encourage us and to reinforce the things that we know already. Amen? So let's be that for each other. Take your communication cards out, if you will, connect cards, and if you haven't done so already, put your name on there. If you have a prayer request or a decision you've made this morning, mark that on there. Some way we can pray for you. Our ushers are going to come, and as they do, if you'll put your cards in the basket, we would appreciate that tremendously. Josh already mentioned this, but I want to say a big thank you to all of you guys who came out yesterday to clean. Chris, his class, did a great job, and all the rest of you. We had a ton of people here, and listen, I'm a little bit ashamed to say this. This church is probably cleaner than it has ever been, period, all right? Listen, you can't find a speck of dust anywhere, and we hadn't done the children's building yet, but then maybe over there. But, you know, this side, claw everything, just appreciate all you guys have done. Hey, side note, maybe I should say that, never mind. Going to say, listen, let's just try to keep it that way, right? Let's just try to keep it that way, you know? Let's not, you know, if we see stuff laying around or whatever, pick it up. Yes, sir. Yeah, that's right. A college and career connect group is starting tonight, okay? It's going to be meeting over here in, I forget what room number it is, but it's the A110, right up the ramp right over here, 5:30. Chris and Gladys are going to be leading that. Bring money because you got to pay Chris to teach, right? No, I'm just kidding. No, he said, you're going to eat. So college and career class, if you know somebody in that age group, listen, that's an age group that I'm glad we're starting something for that age group. It's really hard to get something started. But a lot of times, folks who are in that age group, it's hard to connect. It's hard to get, there's just not a lot of places to fit. So I'm glad for that. Thank you, Chris. You guys spread the word on that. At 5 o'clock tonight, if you have a youth, you are a youth parent, okay? At 5 p.m., we're going to have a youth parents meeting. Congratulations, Josh. We know Josh is going to stay through the end of the school year with our youth group, but then as we begin to look at the direction God has for our youth group, just kind of want to talk that through with youth parents. So I'm not sure exactly where we're going to meet on that. So probably over there as well. So we'll let you know. So show up here at 5 o'clock, and we'll point you in the right direction. If you want to bring your youth are welcome to come to that. If they don't want to come, that's fine too. And also, y'all kind of see how I'm dressed. Second service, we're going to be having baptism. The Watson, Amy and John and Amy Watson, and their oldest son, Jonathan. John and Amy had been saved, but had never really followed through with baptism and never really been, God's doing some great things in their life. So I'm excited and proud of them. And then also Jonathan, their oldest son, has got saved here at Southside, and he's following through with baptism as well. So encourage you to stick around, just kind of watch that in the beginning of first service, and then you can kind of still beat the Methodist to the whatever. So, all right, good deal. Amen. Good to be in the Lord's house today. I'm going to ask, since my wife is right here, if you would close us in prayer.